As fire in the forest immediately burns to ashes, an angry snake, so, by the previous order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his disc, the Sudarshan Chakra, immediately burned to ashes the created demon to protect the Lord's devotee. Oh, I think I forgot to tell you that this is from the 9th canto, where Ambarish Maharaj is offended by the great mystic Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa Muni has created a demon in order to finish or kill Ambarish Maharaj. But when the demon was just trying to seize or get at the case of Ambarish Maharaj, the Lord Sudarshan Chakra immediately came and burned to ashes this mystical being, this demon. Purport. As a pure devotee, Maharaj Ambarish, although in such danger, did not move an inch from his position, nor did he request the Supreme Personality of Godhead to give him protection. He was fixed in understanding, and it was certain that he was simply thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the core of his heart. A devotee is never fearful of his death, for he meditates on the Supreme Personality of Godhead always, not for any material profit, but as his duty. The Lord, however, knows how to protect his devotee. As indicated by the words Prag Dishtam, the Lord knew everything. Therefore, before anything happened, he had already arranged for his chakra to protect Maharaj Ambarish. This protection is offered to a devotee even from the very beginning of his devotional service. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. If one simply begins devotional service, he is immediately protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma sucha. Protection begins immediately. The Lord is so kind and merciful that he gives the devotee proper guidance and all protection. And thus the devotee very peacefully makes solid progress in Krishna consciousness without outward disturbances. A serpent may be very angry and ready to bite, but the furious snake is helpless when faced by a blazing fire in the forest. Although an enemy of a devotee may be very strong, he is compared to an angry serpent before the fire of devotional service. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Shatarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
As fire in the forest immediately burns to ashes an angry snake, so by the previous order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his disc, the Sudarshan Chakra, immediately burned to ashes the created demon to protect the Lord's devotee. It is interesting here that Srila Prabhupada said the Sudarshan Chakra burned the Lord's devotees, protected the Lord's devotee, I'm very sorry, protected the Lord's devotee, by a previous order. Previous means schon vorher gegeben. It was given before this incident happened. The Lord has given the order to his Sudarshan Chakra that every sincere devotee is protected by Krishna from all possible danger. There are many times, instances in the scriptures how devotees in great danger, when they really could not see any way out, became protected by Krishna. One such example is Gajendra, who was attacked by a ferocious crocodile. Another is Prahlad Maharaj, who was attacked by his father in such a manner that he was almost killed. Yet another example is Draupadi. And there are many, many more. I think we all, if we would now sit down and think about examples, we would come to many examples. For a devotee to engage in happy devotional service, he or she must have that faith that Krishna can protect at any moment and take care of his devotee. This faith in devotional service, the faith in the protection of Krishna, builds like the digestive fire. Let me say, of Krishna consciousness, let me really say what I mean. If you just eat but you don't have any fire of digestion, the food within you cannot be used by the metabolism. Metabolism, the Deutsche word is Stoffwechsel. Yeah? Good. You may eat and eat, but the food turns into toxins, Giftstoffe, and makes your life problematic. It becomes the source of even diseases. So in Krishna consciousness also we need to have a digestive fire with which we take on the different, you know, beautiful things in Krishna consciousness. The association of devotees, for instance, or the hearing of transcendental scriptures, or even visiting holy places like Sridhar Mayapur or Badrikashram, or, you know, chanting the holy names. We need to have a digestive fire so that it does not become, these practices don't become, let me say, in the opposite way. Sometimes when I look at you, I see you are sleepy, tired and frustrated. Sometimes, maybe not today, good morning. We are speaking now about you, so it may be good to listen so that you can then later hear, get an idea about the subject matter. Why is it that sometimes devotees, although they have the best philosophy, the best association in the valid theory, sometimes there's better, sometimes there's middle good, and sometimes there's not so good association. But why is it that still we are sometimes not so happy, Florian? It's a good question, isn't it? Why is it, Niels, that although we have great inspiration to progress in Krishna consciousness, still it doesn't seem to work in our own case? This is a good question, isn't it? Well, let us go to this example. When we eat but we don't have any digestive power, that food cannot be utilized properly. Ramananda Roy, in his Ramanand Samvada, says, as long as there is hunger and thirst within the stomach, varieties of food and drink make one feel very happy. You need Chanandara, when there's hunger and you get a good amount of food, that is a source of happiness. However, if there is not the fire of digestion, if there is not real hunger and you eat, it becomes the source of sleep and even of diseases. Then he goes on. Similarly, when the Lord is worshipped with pure love, the various activities performed in the course of that worship awaken transcendental bliss in the heart of the devotee. In other words, when a devotee has in his heart some love, then the activities which he does in devotional service, chanting, visiting holy places, visiting holy people and so on, immediately give rise to great happiness. But when there is not so much love, then this does not work. Is this clear, this example? Niels? Florian? Yes. Good. Now, then, the next verse which Ramananda Roy explains is a Raganuga Sadhan. Hare Krishna. He talks about the intense greed to obtain devotional service. And Prabhupada comments these two verses. He says, the verse which we have heard means service in faith. In other words, the hunger and thirst which we need in the beginning of our devotional service is, in order to digest Krishna consciousness properly, means faith in devotional service. It means Shraddha. A devotee who does not have faith, or who has faith problems, cannot really have any benefit, transcendental nourishment from his or her activities in devotional service. I think we all know this from our own examples. When we read the books with deep faith, with deep conviction that this is good for me, or Krishna, I'm so thankful to you. Thank you. Here is a purport from Srila Prabhupada which makes everything clear, which I always wanted to know. Let me read it. Then immediately we can get such wonderful transcendental taste from the transcendental literature. But if that faith is not there, it's almost like eating something without fire in the stomach. Sometimes this faith in devotional service is not really so much there. I've often been in India, and have, seen this tremendous frustration, which I think all of us who preach to Indians have seen. You start to explain something, and then that person looks at you and says, I know it, my grandmother was also a reader of Bhagavad Gita. Have you made this experience? You just go like, oh. What it means is, please stop talking to me. Because there is no faith that this is valuable for the life. There is no real faith in Krishna's mercy and so on and so forth. And therefore, this typical reaction is, I'm fed up, my grandmother did this. No need for me to tell, for you to tell me. I know Krishna. You know, it's amazing. For those of you who never were in India or who never preached to Indians, when you meet this reaction, it's just unbelievable. I think here comes our Manoharini from Helsinki. Have you ever preached to Indians? Not really. If you do it, you will not believe your ears. Because due to having heard so much the transcendental subject matter, but without real faith, it's like food, you know, which is no longer, which can't be digested. Just like if you have a digestion problem and someone gives you more food, you say, thank you, no need. This is how a person with a faith crisis reacts when he hears the transcendental subject matter. And more, when food is not digested, it turns poisonous. So if a devotee has no faith, after some time, what will happen is, he will make offenses. Vaishnav aparat, nam aparat, he will make offenses against the holy name. Seva aparat, he will make offenses against deities, and he will behave in impossible ways towards holy subjects. And finally, guru aparat, that's the last thing he will do. And in this way, his spiritual life will be stunted, eingeschränkt. So this faith is as important as hunger and thirst when you want to eat something. If you don't have this faith in the transcendental subject matter, the transcendental subject will, the same thing which is good will create problems in your life because of making aparadhas or offenses when we don't have this faith. Now this is a very difficult subject matter, and I think I don't want to talk so much about it. My point is clear. If you want to understand this subject more, please read in Madhya Lila chapter 8, text 69 and text 70, where this is described nicely. So, yes. Now, a person who has faith on the other side, he will have great benefit in Krishna consciousness. He will become totally happy in his spiritual life. The great devotee Yamunacharya has prayed this wonderful prayer. I think it's one of my favorable, danke, prayer. Bhavantam, let us hear how a devotee with faith goes about in his life. Bhavantam evanucharan niranta prashanta nishesha manoratanta kadahamai kantika nitya kinkara prahashayeshyami sanata jivitam. not the right melody, I'm sorry. By serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified. When shall I engage as your permanent eternal servant and always feel joyful to have such a perfect master? Isn't that what we all want? To be free from material desires and totally happy and peaceful. Gadadhara. Yes. But to do this, to feel just joyful in Krishna's service, we again need to have this faith in Krishna consciousness. It is so important, my dear devotees, Nasidragi and Nasadraga devotees, it is so absolutely important. See, by our nature, we are good servants, but good servants of our own senses and our own desires. Prabhupada once said here, they don't want to worship anyone. They want to worship their senses. That's all. Sense gratification. What is dictated by the senses, they agree to worship. Let me do that. Servant of the senses. In the material world, nobody worships nobody. Everyone serves his own senses. I like it! That's all. There is a Bengali song. Now comes the Bengali song. If it satisfies my eyes, why shall I not see? I shall see. This is the sum and substance. If the senses won't do this, he will do it. And our movement is that we shall not hear the dictation of the senses. We shall do what Krishna says. That is just opposite. So long I am carrying out the orders of the senses, then I am involved in this material birth, death, transmigration. And then, you know, devotees were talking with Srila Prabhupada. Okay, that is the problem, we understand. Then the subject matter changed and the devotee said, Prabhupada, I met this on the airport while we did book distribution. I met this famous man who wrote The Fourth Kingdom. Do you know this book, The Fourth Kingdom? I also don't know it. Maybe it's not so important. But it is a famous book. The Fourth Kingdom, Das Vierte Königreich. And the devotee said, he liked your idea, your philosophy, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but he has some mixed ideas. And Prabhupada then laughs. Makes with his head like this. Everyone has mixed up ideas because nobody is properly trained up. Some ideas they have got, some inquiries they have got, but unless one comes to the right person, he cannot be enlightened. Therefore, one must approach the proper guru. So, our situation is that we have some attraction to Krishna consciousness, but at the same time, because there is still, our service is still mixed, we also have a lot of hope to satisfy our own senses and our own mind in the name of practicing spiritual life. This is natural as long as we are not Cheshti Bhaktas. Cheshti Bhaktas means pure devotees, as far as I'm informed. See, now you might think, well, what you have explained to us this morning, Sachinandan Swami, is that we must have faith, but you have also explained it is difficult because we have still some desires for sense gratification. Thank you for this lecture. We know it already. We have heard it already. Why do you say it again? The point is, because there is some interesting philosophical subject which I would really like you to understand this morning. It is, as long as we have, let me say this, concept that I need to be happy by my own activities in Krishna consciousness, we create something which most of us, if we hear it, are not very happy with it. Srila Bhakti, I'm just reading a book called Bhakti Tattva Vichar, the knowledge about Bhakti. What is Bhakti? Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote this because it's difficult sometimes to understand what is bhakti for new devotees, and he made it very clear, and he writes there some point: if a devotee remains attracted to sense gratification, he will create an upadhi. Now what's an upadhi? Designation. This sounds so abstract. Eine Bezeichnung. He creates a Bezeichnung. What is a Bezeichnung? Let me speak it a little bit in contemporary English language, what an upadhi is. An upadhi is some identification. We put some label on our chest. You know, like young people put these far out t-shirts, you know, I'm a straight edger, or I'm a, what label do they put on, you know better than me, you know, as long as we remain attached to our own sense gratification, we must create a role model, a false identification. I am a liberalist, I'm a feminist, I'm a humanist, I'm a this-ist and that-ist. It will be the necessary outcome. I'm a scientist, I'm a physicist, I'm a grihastha, I'm a sannyasi, I'm a this and I'm a that. You must be very careful in your life what you are interested in, what you worship, because that will create your identification. I'm a hippie. I'm a rainbow person. I'm a hashisht. I'm a, you know, millions of identifications, which will take you a whole life and more to live through. My dear devotees, we are in danger to be born again and again and again, because we create some, let me say, false identification. In my own life, I have been thinking very much about my service of guiding young devotees in Krishna consciousness. I don't know if you can imagine what would happen to you if you come in and everyone sings Jaya Gadadha, Jaya Gadadha, or Jaya Lalita, Jaya Lalita. I don't know what will happen. Maybe we should make an experiment for 1 week. Better not, maybe. Because it can be dangerous. It can be dangerous. What you think is that people care about what you say. And this makes you a little, if you feel important. But then, I find it very distressful if disciples don't follow what I say. But then it's also very healthy, because you notice you are a small, insignificant living entity. I find it very good for good medicine, so that no upadhi comes, no designation. I am a big speaker and I am an authority. It's always very healthy when you experience that these upadis are destroyed, because we don't want to be born again by anything in this, by any trick of Maya. This is very, very, very important. Now I've told you from my own experience. Now I will tell you something from your experience. I have first put the ground safe, because now I will drop a bomb. So that you don't turn all against me, I have revealed this in my mind. It's not some strategical point, it's a real point. My dear devotees, be happy if you get a bomb on your false ego. Don't scream out in pain. Say thank you, my dear Lord. Because now you have again destroyed my desire to become happy in this world. And only if this desire for sense gratification is destroyed, then also your upadi machine is destroyed. Upadi machine means your mind, which always creates a new label, a new role, a new false identity, a new false show, is destroyed. Krishna is very, very expert in doing it. One of his very special characteristics is that he does not like his devotees to produce these upadis, these terrible things which make you, which are a guarantee, a passport for your next birth. He does not like it, because he knows that's where all the problem starts. Once there was Narada Muni. Narada Muni said, tell me how your Maya works. And Krishna asked, really? And he said, yes. So then Krishna made a far out arrangement. He told Narada Muni, here is a very nice lake. Why don't you take a birth in... I'm sorry, I said it already. Why don't you take a bath in this lake? I don't know if you know, in our sampradaya, going into water is not always unproblematic. You can change your body in doing it to the better, but here is an example to the worse. So he took his bath and he came out in the form of a woman. Now all of you who get agitated now, no need, it's not against women. So he took the birth, a bath in the water, and he came out as a beautiful woman. Her name was with S, something with S. Her name started with S. It's in the Matsya Purana. So he came out, he grew up in the house of some brahmanas and somehow became extremely beautiful, with well-shaped breasts and nice eyes and mouth, but and also very pious. So no wonder she was, this woman was very much attractive to many men, and the king of Benares, as far as I remember, I'm not so good in remembering who married whom stories, but as far as I remember, the king of Benares married her and lived a very nice life, because she was extremely qualified. Her name might be Samishta, I believe Samishta. It's a long time back when I read this in the Matsya Purana. Somehow it so happened that there was war, and the king, the husband of Samishta, went into war and was killed in the war. And Samishta somehow was the only person who could perform the funeral rites. So she built up a pyre and Scheiterhaufen, and put her qualified husband on the fire, and then desired to take her life also. She jumped and wanted to go into the fire. And she did this. Now it becomes again very Matsya Puranic. When she entered the fire, she saw there was a reflection in the fire. The fire turned into water and she came out of the lake. And there was Krishna. Said, so do you know now what my Maya is? You have suffered so much because you are identified with your body and you have married happily and then you lost your husband again, and as a result you suffered so much that you wanted to take your own life from you. This is how my Maya works. An upadhi is created. It means a designation, a role. I am a man, I am a woman, I am a this and I am a that, these are my interests and so on. And then the whole material world and material experiences go about. Is it clear, Jatta? This is how Maya works. It is so cruel. And it happens when you have a little interest, if you have un-Krishna conscious interests. Do you understand, Bhakti Thorsten? Is this also your experience? You have to think about it first. Yeah, it's a deep point. Yes. Be careful about not surrendering. Be careful about not having faith. Be careful in your spiritual life, because it could well happen that another upadhi, another designation is created and you lose the chance. See, did you know that Kamsa was extremely Krishna conscious? He was so Krishna conscious that sometimes some devotees develop envy. When once a servant brought to Kamsa a glass of water, listen to this, and then the water sparkled. I don't have at the moment a glass of water which I can use for demonstration purposes. But you know, when you look in a glass of water and you have a certain angle, it sparkles. So he brought him the glass of water and the Kamsa went like because what he saw is in the glass of water, not the sparkle of the water. He saw the sparkling from the crown of Krishna. Can you imagine Vishakha getting a glass of water and seeing the crown of Krishna? Wouldn't that be beautiful if you would be so Krishna conscious? Once he was brought a fruit plate and there was only one cut orange. There were many fruits. I suppose I didn't see the plate, but there were several fruits, but there was an orange. So he saw the orange, and the orange, when he saw the orange, he just threw the fruit plate on the floor, because what he saw is, when he saw the orange, the dhoti of Krishna. Now another time his two queens came in. They had put nice ornaments and nice perfume on their body. I don't know where you put it, but everywhere perfumeski. So he smelled, it was such beautiful smell, and it was reminding him of Krishna, who smells also very, very nice. Do you know when Krishna is somewhere and when he suddenly disappears for rasika reasons? You know, then for many, many, for a long time, that you heat the whole air smelled so beautiful because Krishna was there. when we leave, you know, we can smell the pizza, you know, which we ate in a digested form maybe. But Krishna's smell is just so beautiful and so wonderful. So when he smelled this, and he was immediately remembering of Krishna, and he screamed out, and his kids were saying, "Baba, are they? What is the matter with you? Look at us. We are not Krishna. We are your two queens. Don't be so psychopathic, please." So Kamsa was in Krishna consciousness, we can say. But because he had no faith that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his memory of Krishna was of no use for him. He didn't have this, what is called, don't know the Sanskrit at this moment, this faith in Krishna, and therefore the whole thing was worthless. Imagine you would always see Krishna, like now I'm seeing in the eyes of Vishaka's brother, and he has a beautiful pair of glasses, and there is some sparkling in the glasses. You can see there's some light in the glasses. I wish I could remember Krishna, you know, the crown of Krishna. I would wish I would be so Krishna conscious, but unfortunately I am not at all Krishna conscious. So Kamsa was so far, he could remember Krishna by seeing something in this world, but he had no faith, and it did not give him any benefit. He was a sinful rascal who was, anyways, we don't want to speak about him. This faith is so important. I want to read you at the end some verses from the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's tip at the end of the Bhagavad Gita is very, very nice. Text 57 of the 18th chapter, he says, "In all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me." And then he talks about the beauty of Krishna consciousness in the next verse. He says, "If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego," that's an upadhi, "not hearing me, you will be lost." Prabhupada here comments this. "No conditioned soul actually knows what is to be done and what is not to be done. But a person who acts in Krishna consciousness is free to act because everything is prompted, as angespornt, by Krishna from within and confirmed by the spiritual master. If you do not act according to Krishna's direction, you will be forced by your senses and by your mind to act according to that direction, and you will act in false ego." Like Krishna says here, if you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, he says to Arjuna, then you will be falsely directed. But the false ego will direct you. By your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. And then Krishna makes a nice point. He says, "I have said this now to you, but now you have to act upon your own discretion." He says in text 63, I like this text very much, "Thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully and then do what you wish to do. Ultimately, Krishna wants that we act eigenständig, independent, unabhängig. Eigenständig means self-reliant, right? Krishna. Three. So, Prabhupada says, hear the word yatechasi tatakuru. As you like, you may act. Indicate that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity. In other words, you have to bring this amount of faith on your own. You have to somehow convince yourself on your own to do, because you should act as you like to act. This is how Krishna wants, not prisoners who do things for him because others tell him, do this, do that, and so on. Krishna wants devotees who do things because they like to do this for Krishna. Isn't it nice? It would be terrible if you... Yes. It would be terrible if you would be forced to do anything. Ooh, too much stress. This is what I have presented to today to you from my little notes. Hare Krishna. How did you like my story about Narada Muni? It's amazing, isn't it? These stories from the Matsya Purana. So good. So now act as you like to do. I would, you know, wouldn't that be an interesting experiment if we would now say this, now act as you like to do. What will happen with our movement? What happened with the devotees in this room? Ishani, now act as you like to do. This is where we are in our lecture. What is your reaction when you hear this sentence? Now act as you like to act. If you just hear it without, and you don't know anything which we talked about, so what comes first to mind? Do you mind, or are you maybe sometimes one is not in the mood to give a spontaneous answer? Maybe you want to see how the lecture runs, and then good. Our point here is that. In Krishna consciousness, Krishna wants us to act as we like to act. But what we have to do if we want to have like a good action in our lives, we need to work on our faith. Because if we don't act according to deep faith in Krishna, then our activities will be guided by our upadis, by our designations, and our designations will carry us to our next destinations in this world. So interesting. One devotee told me that this principle works so much. This devotee had an interest. The devotee is not from Germany. He's from, anyways, I don't want to say from where. He had an interest to get a castle. That interest was in his heart. Somehow he wanted to be in a castle. And Krishna gave him a castle. Imagine. because he had this upadhi. I want to be a Schlossherr. Schlossherr means the owner of a castle. Yeah. It's so wild, this principle of upadhis, designations, which bring us. Therefore, it would be so nice, wouldn't it, to exchange these upadhis with deep faith in Krishna. And then Krishna would do something with us according to our faith. When you have faith, you can go back to Godhead. Imagine Bhakta Priya. Smiling. Simple point, but I think it's deep and ein tiefer Punkt. We can think about it. Hare Krishna. I have come to an end here. Do you have any questions? Gaura Shiromani.
As long as you're not on a very advanced stage, if you're acting according to Upadhis in Krishna consciousness, properly situated, because our identification as a teacher, the worker, and this is material, because that's not the see our spiritual activity.
Yeah.
So what guarantee do I have that I'm not forced to take another body at the end of my life if I act in this?
Yeah. Srila Prabhupada, he talks about this dilemma. As long as I'm not very advanced, I have to act according to upadhis. So when I act according to upadhis, by the way, upadhis, if you want to know something technical, upadhis come from previous lives. You know, for instance, someone might be was in his last life already a certain type of person. It carries over because it was not fulfilled in the previous life. It carries over. For instance, I might have been a man in my last life and desired very strongly to dominate, and now this disease carries over into the next life, as an example. So or I might have been a rock and roll singer, you know, and didn't work out, and now it goes on in the maybe a tango singer, tango chupidu bi shalalala, you know, and now it carries over my shalalala, carries over into this life. That's previous upadhis. Gaura Shiromani, are you with me? Then the next, but there are other upadhis which have been developed in this life. These two distinctions are there. The ones in the previous life are even more difficult to give up than the ones who have just recently been developed. So now Gaura Shiromani says, but what can we do when we are still on the platform where our own gratification is important to us? And I think no one here, at least, I don't know, maybe we have one or two pure devotees here amongst us, but I think it's very difficult to act just without personal interest, isn't it? For that reason, we need to have a duchone uchatarya. What is that? A spiritual master who engages us. Therefore, it's so absolutely important to have a good relationship to the spiritual master, because otherwise, we, even in Krishna consciousness, will just do what our upadhis tell us to do. That's how Prabhupada always explains this point. I wanted to read to you. Yes. Yeah. The best way to accept the instructions of the Supreme Personality of. So Prabhupada talks the best way is out of this problem to accept the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such instruction comes also through the spiritual master, the bona fide representative of Krishna. In other words, if you are not on the platform where you can directly hear what Krishna says, you have to ask your spiritual master. And by this principle, you will be freed from this Teufelskreis, vicious circle of running according to your upadis. Happy are those devotees who have a direct instruction of their spiritual master and who follow that, no matter what. When I understood this point, I became so happy in my own Krishna consciousness. See, many devotees think, oh, you are a natural preacher. It's not a fact. By my nature, I like to be alone, whole day, for weeks and so on. This is, and not have to deal with so many complicated minds. That's really a strong desire. It becomes stronger as I grow older and lose that body power, so to say, that passionate energy of youth. And but I know Prabhupada has told me personally I should preach in 2 times. He has told me it's very clear what he expects of me, and I'm doing it, and I feel great happiness, even though I don't like it by my, you know, I can't say I don't like it at all. Of course, preaching is also the nectar, but it's the nectar because Prabhupada told me, and I'm doing it as good as I can. Not very successful, but as good as possible. Yeah.
So the point is, the spiritual master also tries to induce the disciple to act according to his upadis. We're just first discussing that I have to find service according to my abilities. Does it mean that later on spiritual master tries to transcend his level?
No. See, when you engage according to the directions of your spiritual master, it's according to your nature, it's totally different than if you just say, I'm doing this. I take this for me. It's totally different, isn't it? Imagine a devotee, let us call him Krishna Das, who likes to play music. Rock and roll. It's only rock and roll, but he likes it. And then he meets his spiritual master, and his spiritual master sees maybe that's the only thing he can do. Let him produce rock and roll music tape. So he tells him, I want you, my dear Krishna Das, to do this. And when Krishna Das does it, because it will be totally different. Why is it different if Krishna does rock and roll without the instructions of his spiritual master, and if Krishna does rock and roll with the instructions of the Krishna with the spiritual master? Isn't it the same music, the same activity? One could ask, where is the difference? The difference is that in the first example, A, Krishna Das is not connected, and in the second example, Krishna Das is connected. And by this connection, all the valuable things in his life will start. He might please his spiritual master, but Krishna Das is following my instruction. He gets the blessings of a great soul, and he comes on a different Nivotsky, a different level, where he plays rock and roll and also comes to Mangal Arati, or you know, if for some this is too early, 7 o'clock Arati. You know. Because of the connection. This is how the whole Vedic scriptures go, by the way. They engage us, I don't know if you are aware, most of what is in the Vedas is in the Karma Kandya section, in the little Jnana section, in the teeny little bit Bhakti section, because most of the people are interested in karma, and therefore the Vedas talk. You know, they are intelligent, they talk to their audiences. But when someone follows the Karma Kanda section, because he is in contact with the Vedas, which are divine, he will gradually be elevated. Because of the connection. Even you can do Karma Sutra. Have you heard about the Karma Sutra? I've read it once in my child when I was 16, and it was just 15 years when I was 15. I just read that portion of the Karma Kanda. That I just looked through books of India and I saw this. And even though I was not in Krishna consciousness, I thought, this is too much for me. My young mind will be has too many images of previous activities, and you know, and I put the book aside. I thought, that's not for me. I don't need this in my present incarnation. So even the Vedas have karma, have this section. Even extremely, I mean, people who have to make these experiences with bodily sense gratification to learn something from it, and who are so attached to this, even they are abgeholt by the Vedas. They are gotten by the Vedas, so that they somehow get a connection. I was in a lecture of Gadadhar, and he said something which I liked very much. Höheres Sein bedeutet immer höheres Verbundensein, isn't it? Higher being means a higher form of connectedness. That's physically true, biologically true, and spiritually true. So, Gadadhar, du hast noch was?
Ja, bezüglich des...
Kannst du in Englisch vielleicht sagen?
Regarding faith, you said you have to work on faith. Sometimes if I hear lectures about faith, I wonder if I hear you have to have faith, this is something which I cannot just decide now I will have faith.
I have faith from today on, I will have faith. The beautiful Shraddha Devi is mine now.
On the other hand, I really understand, or I know that by working, like by studying or having proper association or following the process, really faith comes. But then my doubt is how deep is what I get by my own activities, this faith. I get it, can I not as easily lose it also?
I think faith is something like love. See, most of, you can't say I love now, or you know, no one can demand love me now. That doesn't work. Love is not an article like a book, you know, which you can just take from here and put it there, and you know, it's something more subtle. But there is a process how love comes about. For instance, when two people behave with respect to each other, this is how sometimes love can come. It's not guaranteed, but it can come. Sometimes devotees, you know, come to older devotees and say, now love me. Listen to me, love me, give me your affection, and so on. It happens in a process of exchange, of service, and so on. In the same way, faith will be born in during a process. Listening is a great thing. Listening to the scriptures, acting according to what one has heard, is a great faith builder. Following rules which in one's life, which decrease the influence of passion and ignorance, is a great faith builder. Have you sometimes seen when you are not so up on the standard, but then you start to go to regulate your life, that you go up for Mangal Arati, that you look at the deities, that you chant together with devotees, all of a sudden a whole different perception comes. Spiritual life is like this. It happens during a process. You can't say, now I want spiritual life, bang, and then you are enlightened and have faith and so on and so forth. You have to do a process. A little while ago, Srishti Kata came in and I was listening to a lecture of Prabhupada and I was just enjoying so much the lecture, and I spaced out during the I didn't think any longer what Prabhupada said, because my heart was so full with faith. How Prabhupada said, he talked about Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. And he talked so convinced, isn't it? It was just so convincing for me to just hear Prabhupada talking so absolutely sure about it, that in my heart I felt just so happy. I am the most wonderful spiritual master. Everything is clear, and I forgot to listen to what he said because I was so happy. Do you have something about Brahman, Paramatma? I have heard it millions of times. I know it. I can preach about it. But what I care is I believe it. Because Prabhupada was sitting there just so strongly and so convinced, talked about it. That's Prabhupada's specific strength, that he can give realization in your heart. In other words, how faith comes, it happens. You also don't know how it happens. I did not listen to the lecture to get more faith. That was not my intention. I wanted to hear something while I eat prasadam, just something background to keep my mind going and listen and be with Prabhupada while I eat prasadam. That's my purpose, But all of a sudden, in the process, the faith came. You can't also do, I don't know if you were ever in love in your life. I must have been in my past life many times because I can just relate to it. It happens. It happens mystically. All of a sudden it's there, then it's not there. You can't control that feeling. Those who are grihasthas know about this more than us dry brahmacharis and sannyasis, or mothers, or you can't say, now I will love my children, isn't it? Sometimes it's there, and then you think like, I hope they grow up and so on. There is also not, you can't say, now I will do a process to gain love or faith, but do it and it happens. If you don't do it, it will never happen. It happens according to its own rule. Bhaktivinoda Thakur always speaks of, when he speaks of Shraddha, he says Shraddha Devi, and he says it's a beautiful little girl in the beginning, which grows up and becomes a mature woman. And he says, in the beginning, just like a mother takes care of a child, little child, very much, so that nothing happens, you know, no coldness, no this, and this, we have to take care of Shraddha. Good morning, Tattva. Also, guten Morgen sagt man nicht. Willkommen, willkommen, willkommen. Jetzt ist alles klar? Also, sagen wir mal so. Da muss man sich jetzt mit befassen. Just be ready to do some work on your faith by the faith building processes and wait. Be patient. Like Siddhartha says, you know, someone asks Siddhartha, what can you do? And he says, I can fast, I can wait, and I have patience. As far as I remember. Think, oh yeah, oh you know. I can fast, I can think and I can wait. Huh? Yeah? This is the three things, you know. But in Krishna consciousness, we should say, I can do something which I know, I can wait, and I can eat prasadam. Little better. Yeah.
If because of our practice, or if we do one of the processes, it always turns out the wrong way, that we can gain faith that this way. Shall we then stop this particular process, or shall we go on trying?
Yeah, we should know that the problem lies in us. I want to tell you a story which I like very much, but I first have to ask, what is Klempner in English? Plumber, yeah. Once they took a plumber to the Niagara Falls? This is a joke, hopefully you can laugh. So the plumber, the Klempner, saw the Niagara Falls. You know what he said? I think I can fix that. Finally, I made a good joke. It's a good joke, isn't it? Yeah. I think I can fix that. Das kriegen wir schon hin. Because he was looking at the world from his own perspective, as a plumber, and Klempner perspective. So that is what we also do. So what should the unfortunate plumber do? Let him stay a little at the Niagara Falls and maybe he will learn to appreciate it's a wonder of God which happens there. It's nothing to be fixed. No need to fix it. Not possible to fix it with a small little plumber equipment. What makes it worth, he was a new plumber also, Lalita. He was not very experienced as of yet. That's how the story goes. I think we should theoretically, when we see we lose faith, we should kick our mind and say, foolish mind! Why are you making this problem for me? I want spiritual life. I have some faith that I'm at the right place. I have already made my experiences. Foolish mind, don't create a problem to us. We have to, you know, sometimes go against our mind. Great sacrifice, but we need to do. He's a foreign person. ein Zugezogener. He is zugezogen zur Seele. But he has followed us since many times, many lives. Like Nietzsche says, everywhere someone is following me, he is a dog called ego. No, he says like, überall folgt mir ein Hund namens Ego. Überall hin folgt mir ein Hund namens Ego. Getting my quotes out, my anshastric quotes. Do you have a last question, Gadab?
You said that if there's a phase is limited, we should control the mind. And it seems to me that the real phase problem is not on the level of the mind, but it's at the level.
Spiritual level.
Yeah, it's a mind-stress problem, and it's maybe fixed. Like I remember in this point, Robert in the second canto of Srila Prabhupada said that faith means intelligence, or faith, intelligence is faith. That this too, and the intelligence is also on a deeper level of mind.
Yeah. I think what you say is correct. But at the same time, you have to sometimes say no to your mind and not listen to it. But the problem is not only a mental mind problem. I remember very distinctly, which is so vivid in my memory, how Prabhupada used to get many letters of his early disciples with questions to the philosophy. These were 2 years old or 1 year old or even 6 months old devotees, and they would be in the habit to ask him like 50 questions or 25 questions, and difficult ones. I knew we had the wife of our temple president was expert in asking these questions to Prabhupada, and I remember Prabhupada would answer them. Long letter, 3-4 pages long letter, but real, you know, so knifflige Fragen. So, you know, how many personalities are there in the Tulsi plants? Is it one or many? You know, all these questions where there is maybe no Shastric reference and so on. Do you know sometimes these questions where you really, which can drive you mad, you know, these questions where you've never read anything about it and it's so difficult. It comes only from the level of the entangled mind of the questioner. And you would have to explain like 50 million points before you can, and then the question would be answered. So Prabhupada used to be very patient. Sometimes he complained. He said, these Westerners, they ask millions and millions of questions. You lose gallons of blood to just make one devotee. He wrote to one God brother. He was a little exhausted, maybe. Question, question, question. But Prabhupada had to answer this, because if he would not answer, the faith of his young disciples would be would never grow. So Prabhupada, after one long such letters, these letters were famous, he said, may I ask you if you are chanting your rounds without offenses? You know, very politely, like you do when someone is a little unfaithful, you can't really preach to them, you just very politely ask them. Is it all right, you know? May I ask if you are also chanting your rounds without offenses? That's a lot of reason why we don't have faith. I think you remember my story of this sadhu who went to a village where everyone had like piles of questions, and he just did a kirtan. And at the end he said, I think I've answered all your questions. And the people said yes, because they could see now, being on a higher level, that the unclarities which were on the lower level looked all of a sudden very clear. It's like almost if you go on a skyscraper, you see how the Gassen and the roads go. I had this realization when Bhakti Charu Maharaj in Heidelberg, he came and he said to me, Sashinanda Swami, let's go to church. Alright. And so we went to church and looked at everything, and then we went up the tower of the church and we looked all over Heidelberg. And I looked into this one uni section where I always got lost. Then we had a lot of preaching in the Heidelberg University, and I always got lost in these roads. And then I saw it from a higher perspective. Ooh, everything was so clear and simple. This is also what is with the mind. You always get lost into certain things, but if you are on a higher spiritual perspective, you can see everything. Clarissimo, it is clear. Oh Krishna, because this is our last chance for Manoharini. Please, Manoharini, ask your question.
Is it okay to pray for Krishna to send us like some experience that we can turn it down
any problems? Yeah, I think so. Yes. If you feel like praying like this, yeah. Like, Krishna, please send me an experience that I will build up my faith. Yeah. But be careful. This type of prayer, it might be, like, remember when you're... No, Krishna is a kind teacher. If you ask, he will send you a situation which is good for you. I would say leave it up to Krishna. See, you want to control, like, you think, oh, how can I get faith? Okay, by an experience. Okay, my dear Lord, give me a Mercedes Benz. Give me an experience now. But Shraddha happens like love. It's something you can't control. You only can try the processes which are recommended in Shastra and see what happens. So we are a little late now, it's 20 minutes past 9 and we will be very, we are too late at the moment. I know, Murali, you have a question. Would it be alright if you ask the question later? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.
Thank you, Sri Asatyananda Maharaj.
Jai.
Oh, Krishna.